Welcome to Christ in Prophecy. For over 45 years, Lamb and Lion Ministries has proclaimed the soon return of Jesus Christ through this television program, through radio, via the World Wide Web, and through a bi-monthly magazine and a host of publications.
Our message is gospel-centered and focuses on Bible prophecy. We point to the signs of the times that indicate that we are living in the season of the Lord's return, fulfilling a long-awaited promise that He gave when He was ministering on the earth. That is why we host also an annual Bible prophecy conference that emphasizes on the prophetic Word of God.
Anyone who has read the Gospel of John knows that the opening verses tell us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John is clearly referring to none other than Jesus Christ.
That name and title is what English-speaking Gentile Christians refer to as the Messiah, but his given name in Hebrew was Yeshua, revealed by the angel Gabriel and meant to capture his divine role. God is salvation.
Even as Jesus began to call his disciples to follow me, he was understood to be a rabbi, a Jewish teacher with eager and designated followers. Eventually, those disciples, beginning with Peter, would come to understand that Yeshua was the anointed one, or Messiah. And still, they called him Rabbi, or Rabboni. I recently had a chance to sit down with Dr. James Hug, the author of a new Lamb and Lion Ministries book entitled Rabbi Yeshua, the Founder of Christianity. This insightful book presents Jesus in all his Jewishness as the Rabbi who is also the Messiah. Well, James, Dr. Hug, welcome again to Christ in Prophecy.
Thank you, Tim. It's a pleasure and an honor to be with you today.
You know, I think you've actually been on this program before, but some of our viewers may not realize that you are one of the longest serving trustees, if not the longest serving trustee, of the board of directors of Lamb and Lion Ministries. So I'll just ask right off, how did you get associated with Lamb and Lion Ministries and become inflamed about the excitement that the Lord is indeed coming soon?
Well, let me take you back to 1982. I was a member of a church in Houston when we invited Dr. David Reagan, the founder of Lamb and Lion Ministries, to speak about Bible prophecy. And my heart was prepared to receive the message that Jesus is coming soon. I spoke with Dr. Reagan after his presentation, and he learned that I am a scientist who believes the biblical account of God's creation of the universe in 6 24-hour days. And he invited me to be interviewed for his daily radio program. And we recorded a two-week series of interviews. After that, Dr. Reagan invited me to become the youngest trustee of Lamb and Lion Ministries. Now, I've been a trustee for over 43 years. I guarantee I'm not the youngest any longer.
No, sir, but again, you have been serving faithfully the Lord for many years and with this ministry, and we certainly are grateful for your discernment and your wisdom, the leadership that you provided. One of the details I think is pertinent, even as we get into a conversation about this book, that once again, some of our viewers may not know, is you discovered as an adult that you actually have Jewish heritage. In other words, you are a Jew as well. So how did you come about discovering your own Jewish roots?
Well, I discovered my hidden ancestry. It's actually Dr. Reagan who inspired me to take a look and find out. But it's a common story, the hidden ancestry, because many Jews have been taught that they must cease being Jewish when they accept Messiah as their Lord and Savior. But if you recall, Yeshua and his disciples continued worshiping in the temple and observing the Jewish feasts that Paul always taught in the synagogues. They never gave up their Jewishness. Of course, I'm grateful that my ancestors found and trusted Yeshua. I started attending Messianic Jewish congregations, and I became a part of worship teams. I met my wife in such a congregation, and we each separately had visited Israel, and that inspired a strong desire for us to become Israeli citizens or to make Aliyah, which means to going up to Israel. And we wanted to contribute to building up the nation. So we finally had that opportunity when our children were 7 and 5 years old, pretty good ages to learn Hebrew. So my family and I are now both dual citizens of the U.S. and Israel.
Well, I know that that has been a blessing to you, and I know that you did contribute there, living in Israel, to the ongoing blessedness and prosperity of that land. You know, you mentioned going up, making Aliyah. We know that almost 2,000 years after Yeshua was born in Judea and grew up in the hill country, the elevated portion of the country west of the Sea of Galilee, today most Jews mistakenly think that Jesus, which is the Greek version of his name, that's how we oftentimes say his name in English even, is the Gentile Messiah. And so most Jews do not realize that Jesus, Yeshua, was born a Jew and died under a sign that actually declared him King of the Jews.
You know, the Jewish prophets anticipated two Messiahs. The one that the Jews were waiting for, and they're still waiting for, was called Messiah, the son of David, or the conquering king. Now, he's the Messiah that those Palm Sunday crowds wanted to put a crown on as their king, so that he would be a warrior to defeat the Romans. He's also the one Messiah that Christians are waiting for him to return. But the Jewish sages identified a second Messiah, son of Joseph, or the suffering servant. Now, very few Jews were waiting for that Messiah, but that is precisely the role that Yeshua played. The mostly Gentile church worships this suffering Yeshua as Messiah, or as we call him, Jesus Christ. Now, when Yeshua returns, the Jews will learn that one perfect Jew, Rabbi Yeshua, fulfilled both messianic prophecies by coming to earth twice, first to suffer and second to reign.
You know, you just mentioned the very title of your book, Rabbi Yeshua, the founder of Christianity. And so, James, why is it so important, not just for Jews, but even for Gentiles, to recognize Jesus's or Yeshua's Jewishness? And so even as you talk about the two Messiahs expected, didn't he come as the Savior for all mankind, but specifically the Jewish Messiah for all mankind?
You're certainly correct there. Now, the Bible is mostly a story about God's dealings with a particular people that he called out. They're called Hebrews or Israelites, or more commonly today, just simply Jews. Now, God chose them to make an example of the Jews. He blessed them when they obeyed, and he punished them when they did not. But he never, ever wavered in his love and promises to them. You know, the greatest evidence that Yeshua is coming soon is the existence of the nation of Israel. God made many promises to Israel, and the fact that he is keeping those promises despite the human failures of the Jews should strengthen our faith that he will keep every promise to the mostly Gentile church. Yeshua said that the way that we treat the least of his Jewish brothers and sisters is how we're treating him. When we bless Israel, called the apple of God's eye, God reciprocates by blessing us.
You know, I am reminded over and over again, as you read the entirety of Scripture, God had great disdain. He actually condemned those nations surrounding Israel who even dared to say, aha, as he was disciplining the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So even as he was disciplining those he loved, he didn't tolerate the surrounding nations even gloating over that discipline for a season. Obviously, we know from Scripture that Jesus, Yeshua, I'll refer to him as Yeshua for the rest of this conversation because that is his Hebrew, his Jewish name, but Yeshua came to the Jew first and then or also to the Greek or to the Gentile. So really his message of salvation was to the Jew first, but all of us who have been grafted into this family of God have received salvation through, again, Yeshua, our Jewish Messiah. So how did you go about in this book, James, emphasizing Yeshua's Jewishness, the Jewishness not only of himself, but also his disciples and all the various locations and activity that are included as you essentially step through the gospel accounts of his life and ministry?
Well, let me tell you the process. We were living in Israel for 7 years, and we were active in a messianic Jewish congregation. When I started asking the Lord in prayer, first, teach me how to be a fisher of men, especially for the not yet saved Jews. And second, I really wanted to participate in the reconciliation of Gentiles to the Jewish Messiah, to support the fulfillment of that fathers and children prophecy at the end of the book of Malachi. The answer was to write a book combining multiple teaching features. One, to use a Messianic Bible translation. And there was at the time an excellent one by the late Dr. David Stern, who lived in Jerusalem. Second, I wanted to harmonize the four gospel eyewitness accounts. Third, I wanted to put the accounts in chronological order. Four, to point to and quote the fulfilled prophecies in the life of Yeshua. And finally, five, to insert my editorial comments, including several essays, to explain the context of the Jewish biblical traditions.
You do that very beautifully, because all throughout this book, I think you've hit every one of your goals, James. You did describe chronologically the events in Yeshua's life, and you combined all of the different gospel accounts into one that is easy to follow. You actually provide references for where those citations or those accounts are in the various gospels. Obviously, we know that some Jews are skeptical. Well, the New Testament, as we would refer to it as Gentile followers of Yeshua, that's the Gentile Bible. And yet many Jews have not read the accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who were Jewish writers. I mean, they had recorded either as their own eyewitness or as collecting the accounts, as Luke did, writing to another individual. And so they are giving us detail basically from a Jewish perspective, and yet sometimes the Jewish skeptics today reject the validity of these accounts because they simply haven't read. If they read, many times they recognize, wow, this is talking about a Jew. I had no idea that what you call Jesus, he was Jewish.
Well, the New Covenant is really focused on Yeshua's fulfillment of prophecies from Jewish prophets. They come from the Hebrew scriptures, or what we might call the Old Covenant. Yeshua, according to the testimony of the eyewitnesses, lived a sinless life. He taught with amazing wisdom, performed all of the miracles expected of Messiah. He offered himself as the perfect Passover lamb sacrifice. He wore my crown of thorns. And he was crucified in our place. He died, and he defeated death, rose from the grave, and ascended to heaven to sit at God's right hand until his return to earth as Messiah, Son of David.
You know, I think one of the mysteries, and I'll call it that, of the Old Testament that even Jews have to grapple with is why God, who over and over and over again condemned the sacrifice of children. As a matter of fact, I think one of the reasons that the United States of America is under the condemnation of the Lord, at least on the trajectory we're currently on, is because of the engagement in idol worship with all of our materialism and child sacrifice. He called that an abomination. And yet, one time, he told Abraham to take his son, his only son, and to sacrifice him. Now, we know that he stayed the hand of Abraham, but it is a mystery. Why would the Lord God, who called this an abominable practice, actually command Abraham as a step of faith to sacrifice his son? And yet we know from the hindsight of the revelation of Yeshua coming to earth and dying as God's only son, that it was a preview, a foreshadowing, a prophetic pointing to the only son who would be sacrificed on our behalf.
I've heard rabbis explain, or try to explain, the story of Abraham. And one explanation is that he was commanded to prepare his son for a sacrifice, and the command to actually execute him on the altar didn't come. In fact, he got the exact opposite. Right. You know, Abraham, stop. Now I know that you trust me and your faith is considered as righteousness. But of course, God did command his son, and his son obeyed.
I think it's so beautiful to realize when you go to Israel and you go to the various places, One of the most poignant to me is the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus, in his humanity, Yeshua, being fully human, said, Lord, God, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. And yet he submitted himself to the will of the Father. Here again, it's hard for some Jews to accept that God would have a son and that the son would be submissive. But this is a picture throughout Scripture, so many different references in the Old Testament prophetically. And so, James, I'm so glad that you brought all those prophecies to bear, even as you were describing the account of the New Testament. And really, the Jewish authors of the Gospels did the same thing. Over and over again, they pointed back, and Yeshua pointed back to prophecies that were being fulfilled in his life. This was done to fulfill the prophecy of this particular prophet or that particular prophet. And so you have kept that emphasis throughout your account of Rabbi Yeshua.
I wanted a book that had all of these features and would be easy to read and to remind me of all of these. You know, sometimes I'm asked, well, can you prove to me that Yeshua is the Messiah? It's much easier, I think, to prove that no one else could possibly be the Messiah. It's mathematically certain that Yeshua is the only viable candidate. You know, he came at the appointed time, according to prophecies by prophets like Daniel or even Balaam. He had a perfect genealogy recorded by Matthew and Luke, and he fulfilled every one of over 100 messianic prophecies of his first coming. Who else could be the Messiah?
You know, James, that's a beautiful point that you make. Just recently, I was talking to some friends who were contemplating going to Israel on a pilgrimage with me, and they inquired about going to Bethlehem. And I said, well, frankly, I don't go to Bethlehem anymore because Bethlehem has been walled off into the area that is designated as under Palestinian Authority control. And therefore, my Jewish guide, a Messianic believer living there just west of Jerusalem, is not allowed to go to Bethlehem. And they say, why? I said, because if a Jew sets foot in Bethlehem, his life is at risk. They are verboten, as the Germans would say, the only apartheid part of the entire Middle East relative to the Jewish territory is what has been designated as Palestinian Authority territory. They practice apartheid and will murder Jews in their midst. And so even when the wise men, the magi who had studied the writings of Daniel, obviously he was in exile in Babylon, when they came to Judea and showed up in Jerusalem and were asking, where is the Messiah? The rabbis, the scribes, the chief priests of that day and age knew the prophetic word. Well, the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. James, you can't have a Messiah born a Jew in Bethlehem when Jews are not allowed to be in Bethlehem. So there can be no Jewish Messiah born in Bethlehem today. He was indeed born just over 2,000 years ago.
That's right. There's in Israel, you will see pictures of a man that some in a cult claim is the Messiah. He was born in Brooklyn and never stepped foot in the Middle East. So he can't be a Messiah.
And not the one prophesied in Scripture, for sure. Well, James, we've been talking about your book, Rabbi Yeshua, Founder of Christianity. And as you say, even in the subtitle of that, documented by eyewitness accounts. But I think one of the things that would be a blessing to our viewers is actually hearing. And we'll have you to read, and so they'll be able to see and hear, and we'll have some other graphics. But would you share with us a few selections from the wonderful book in the context of the Jewishness that you weave in to describing Rabbi Yeshua?
Okay, reading from Roman numeral page 7. This book organizes eyewitness accounts to tell the life story of the most famous Jew in world history, Rabbi Yeshua Emmanuel ben Yosef. Rabbi means teacher, and we call him Jesus. This book presents the life of Rabbi Yeshua in a unique way. First, the book includes only the eyewitness portion of the New Covenant text and is based on the complete Jewish Bible translation of the late Dr. David Stern, a Messianic Jew living in Jerusalem who, in the 1990s, restored the original Jewish character of the New Covenant text. Two, I have organized the eyewitness accounts in chronological order. Three, where multiple eyewitnesses reported the same event, I have harmonized their testimonies to consistently include all of the eyewitness viewpoints. Four, I have quoted the numerous citations from the Tanakh, that's the name for the Hebrew scriptures, especially fulfilled prophecies at the point of their reference in the eyewitness accounts. And five, I have written extensive editorial comments and essays to enhance your understanding of the Jewish aspects and context of Yeshua's story. Now, Rabbi Yeshua's life is presented in this Jewish context, chronological, harmonized, prophetic, eyewitness story with comments, so that you can better appreciate the Jewish roots of the Gentile Christian religion, which began almost 2,000 years ago as a messianic Jewish sect. Rabbi Yeshua's life thoroughly and profoundly changed world history. Yeshua would have been far less famous if only 500,000 first century Jews had become followers of his messianic Jewish sect called the Way. However, those original Jewish followers included many Pharisee rabbis and other Talmudim, which means students or disciples, who took seriously God's declaration that the Jews were to be a light unto the nations, from Isaiah 49, verse 6. They heeded Rabbi Yeshua's command that we call the Great Commission to go and make Talmudim, or disciples, of all nations. The sacrificial death and bodily resurrection of Yeshua comprise the pivotal event in the history of the world. Believers celebrate annually the resurrection of Messiah, or Christ. Now, even CEO believers, that is Christmas and Easter only, recognize the central importance of Resurrection Day.
You know, James, we'll have to leave it to the readers to dive further into your essay, which explores the various days of the week that have been presented, including the traditional Friday for Jesus' death and burial. And I think they would be very enlightened to explore deeper through your writing. You know, as we were talking earlier, and we talked about how, from a Jewish perspective, Christianity may seem to be a Gentile religion. As someone who served as helping with the editing of your book, I know that's exactly how you identified, really, some of the perspective of the Christian faith. You read just a moment ago, even from your introductory page 7, where you said that one of your goals was to help readers better appreciate the Jewish roots of the Gentile Christian religion. But I think you and I would agree, and we're brothers in Yeshua, brothers in the Messiah, that this is not merely a religion. It certainly is not a Gentile religion. As a matter of fact, as Jude, a writer in the New Testament whose Hebrew name, whose Jewish name was Judas or Judas, you would probably pronounce it Judah or Judas, the brother of Christ, not the disciple who betrayed Yeshua, as he wrote in his letter, his epistle, he said that he was urging his readers to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. This is not the Christian faith. This is not the Gentile faith. This is the faith, faith in the person of Yeshua. And as I refer to him even in my foreword, the Holy One of Israel.
Well said, brother. I agree totally.
Well, brother, I know you and I do agree totally, and that's why the Lord has allowed us to His glory to co-labor together. James, what would you say to our viewers about the continuing mission of Lamb and Lion Ministries? Obviously, we serve together here to proclaim the soon return of the Anointed One of Israel, Yeshua HaMashiach. What would you tell them about the mission of Lamb and Lion Ministries?
I've been a trustee since 1982 and have witnessed many signs of the times awaken as prophecies begin to be fulfilled. But never before have we seen such a convergence of all types of signs. I don't know when Yeshua will return to rapture his bride or when the tribulation will begin, but I do know we are in the season, and I pray that any moment he will call us upward to meet him in the clouds. You know, it's only 5 more years until we celebrate 2,000 years since his resurrection. His return is sooner than ever before. Will he find faith on the earth when the Son of Man returns? I think true faith certainly incorporates the Jewishness of our Savior Yeshua and understands the Jewish roots of our Christian faith.
Amen. Well, as two who share that faith in the one true and living Son of the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those Jewish patriarchs, James, I just give him praise, even as I give you thanks for being faithful to share what he laid on your heart. I want to thank you for joining us today remotely through the miracle of modern technology, and I'm glad that we were able to co-labor, to collaborate on this wonderful book, Rabbi Yeshua, the Founder of Christianity.
Thank you for the opportunity to be on the program.
Well, James, as we say to all of our guests, Godspeed, my friend.
Thank you.
Anyone who minimizes God's promise to bless the Jewish people denies the Jewishness of Jesus. Tragically, there are many in our world today who mischaracterize Jesus as a Palestinian, a designation that is more political than historic and would have been meaningless to people living in Judea and Samaria when Jesus called his first disciples.
Similarly, many in the church have been duped to think that Jesus rejected Israel. Most of Israel rejected him 2,000 years ago, yes, and most Jews are still rejecting him today. But the Anointed One came to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. Even as he pronounced discipline on the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God reiterated his love for the lost sheep of Israel.
If any of you watching this program are Jewish, Rabbi Yeshua will help you understand the Jewishness of our Jewish Messiah. And if you are not a Jew, this book will help you convey the truth of the gospel to your Jewish friends, even as it helps you nurture a Christ-like love for the Jewish people.
If you'd like to get a copy of Rabbi Yeshua, then please contact us on the information below. Call our ministry office or visit our online store, and we'll be glad to send you a copy. And if you'd like to buy multiple copies to give away or share with your Jewish friends, call us and we'll work out a special rate.
We'll be back next week with another episode of Christ in Prophecy. Until then, in the name of Yeshua, the rabbi who is still calling men and women to follow me, Godspeed.
Christ in Prophecy is made possible through the faithful and generous support of viewers like you. Please consider making a donation to Lamb and Lion Ministries so that we can continue broadcasting the message of Jesus' soon return. Thank you, and God bless you.